When you're buying real estate, especially commercial real estate, or a business that includes real estate, or real estate that includes a business, there's one thing that most people have a fear of and dread. And it's the one thing that most investors don't do well enough on. And there's a simple solution to that. And we're going to talk about that in this episode of the Financial Momentum Podcast. Everybody, welcome to the Financial Momentum Podcast. I'm Paul Airy, and I'm going to talk about negotiating. Negotiating is very important in real estate. In my opinion, it's probably, well, aside from leases, it's probably the most important thing that you need to learn to do when you buy a property. Now, this could be real estate, commercial real estate. Could be a business that you're buying, could be a business that includes real estate, or it could be real estate that includes a business. And it could be just about any kind of property that you want to buy. And negotiations for a lot of people are some of the hardest, it's one of the hardest things for them to do. Other people, on the other hand, really like that negotiating process. They love to get into that. They like making the deals. And maybe that's why I'm so, I shy away from stock investing so much, because there's no negotiating there. You just either pay the price or you don't pay the price. And I really like that negotiating process, and I like to find ways to move in and out of that in a contract on real estate. So what are the things you need to negotiate on? There are a lot. Most people just think of the price, but there's a lot more to it than the price. Now, I'm going to tell you all these things, and then I'm going to give you an easy solution to get all these things done. So the first thing, of course, is the price. You want to negotiate the price. They're going to give you an asking price. It is normally not going to be the price they're going to end up taking. In commercial real estate, there are a lot of things to go through to get to the price, the final purchase price. So when somebody is trying to sell a property and they're going to ask, let's say, $500,000 for a property, first thing I'm going to do is I'm thinking, okay, it needs to be at least 10% off of that. They probably inflated the price about that much, knowing that somebody's going to come along and offer less and they're going to take it. Now, that's just a starting point, okay? It's not, don't go out and find a property and just offer them 10% less, because there's a lot more to do with this than that, okay? But you need to know that you're probably going to get the property for less than what they're asking for it. Chances are, if you can't, you know, I don't take properties like that. If they're not willing to negotiate a little bit, if they don't understand that their property is probably not worth what they're asking for it, which is the case in about 90% of the properties out there for sale, then, you know, you probably don't want to deal with that person. If they're not willing to negotiate a little bit on the price, or even a lot, then they're probably not somebody you want to deal with. But setting that aside, what other things do you need to look at? And some of these things are going to determine what your offering price is, what your offer is. Okay, so first of all, in a contract, and I'll try not to make this too boring, but in a contract, In a residential contract, they call it an option period. In a commercial contract, at least in Texas, it's called a feasibility period. Some people call it a due diligence period or an option period. But it's the amount of time from the day you sign the contract, from the day you execute the contract, till the end of this period is the time that you can get out of the contract with, you know, whatever reason or for no reason, you can just cancel it. It doesn't matter the reason. With no penalty, and you get your earnest money back. So that's the feasibility period. And during that time, it's a time that you take to determine the feasibility of buying the property and using it for what you want to use it for. So this is the time where you get surveys done, environmental studies, get inspections done on the property, and make sure everything is the way you want it to be. So all of these things are going to come into play and happen during that feasibility period. Now, I typically don't like to go less than 60 days. I will not do one. If they're in that big of a hurry to sell that property, then they better start dealing on the price, because there's something going on there, and I don't like being rushed. So, and you shouldn't either. If they won't give you a 60-day feasibility period, if you're buying a big property, and I know I looked at 16 acres for a development a while back. It was somewhere between $1 million and $2 million, might have been around $2 million. And they only wanted a 45-day feasibility period. That's all they would allow. And I just said, I'm sorry, you know, you got a good price on your land, but I can't do that. The due diligence I have to get done on a development like this is not going to get done in 45 days. And I'm not going to put my earnest money at risk. And they wouldn't come off of that 45 days. So I wanted 90 days. So I passed on the property. That was about 2 years ago. And that property is still for sale to this day. And that's why, because that seller, well, not going to, if he'd just taken 90 days, he would have sold that property 2 years ago. And now he's still sitting on it, because he won't come off of that. Another small thing, well, it's small to most people. To me, this is a big deal. The contract needs to be assignable. That's something that's negotiable. There's a little box in the contract that we use that says this contract is assignable, or may be assigned or may not be assigned. You always want to check that you can assign it. Not for the reason that you want to wholesale this property or flip this contract, but for the reason that you want to put it under contract, and then you want to figure out which company name you want to put it under, because you don't want to put a property under your personal name. You need an LLC or a corporation of some type to put the property under. And you want, if you don't have that set up yet, if you're going to set up a company specifically for the property, then you want that checked. You always want it checked anyway. You might decide, if you have multiple company names, you might decide you want to switch it from one to the other. And it's a lot easier to do it before the deal goes through than it is after. So make sure that it's assignable. Some people complain. Some sellers think, oh, you're trying to cheat me. You're just going to go out and sell this contract, and you're going to make more money off of it than I am, you know. And that's not usually what's happening. What's happening is you want to be sure you can get it in the proper company name. Surveys. You know, these contracts are going to require a survey. The bank is going to require one. Your lender is going to require a survey. Now, they may already have one. If they do, great. They can give it to you. They can provide it to you. If there's not one, if they can't find it and you have to get a new one done, somebody's got to pay for it. That's where the negotiation comes in. Who's going to pay for it? The buyer or the seller? It can go either way. Some sellers I deal with routinely get their property surveyed when they sell it. They just feel like it's their responsibility to provide a good survey when they sell a property. I like that attitude, but a lot of times they don't do that, and I end up having to pay for it. So Just be careful. Some commercial surveys can be very expensive. There's something called an ALTA survey, A-L-T-A. I don't recall what that stands for. But it's very expensive. If a lender comes along and requires that, I've seen that happen once. And turned out to be a $5,200 survey. And that was a deal I was brokering, not one that I was buying. And, you know, it's a survey that pinpoints the location of every building, everything on that property that's permanently attached to the ground. They have to pinpoint every location. Otherwise, you know, a regular old survey, they survey the boundaries, the property lines, and the easements. Next thing is an environmental study. You can negotiate an environmental study out of the deal. Doesn't happen very often that the seller is going to pay that one. Usually it's the buyer as part of the buyer's due diligence. I've paid for an awful lot of environmental studies. They're not cheap. They're about $3,500 depending on the size of the property. Now, if it's a big property and they've been doing a lot of stuff there that's environmentally risky, it could be a lot more than that. But it is something you do want to do. I had one property I brokered one time. There was a tenant in there before the guy sold it. They moved out. They were a chemical company, an oil field chemical company. The chemicals were not all that harmful anyway. They're pretty mild, but they had spilled some in the dirt, and the guy doing the environmental study found it and cost the seller, which he ended up suing the tenant for, $30,000 to get it cleaned up. That type of thing is something you want to watch out for, because if you buy the property, you could get stuck with paying for that. So you always want to get one of those done. If you can get the seller to pay for it, or if they've had one done anyway recently, you can get that from them. They should provide that to you. Another thing is deferred maintenance. You'll send in an inspector. Somebody will go in and inspect the property. There aren't exactly commercial property inspectors like there are house inspectors. You might have to hire an electrician to go in and do an electrical inspection. You might have to hire a plumber to do some plumbing inspection and so on, you know, going through all the trades, roof inspection, and all that. So they're going to find things that have been maintenance that's been deferred. In other words, they're going to find things a landlord should have done but haven't. And that's deferred maintenance. Repairs that needed to be done and haven't been done. Somebody's got to pay for that. If you're going to have to pay for it, you need to get that knocked off the price of the property. Either that, or you need to ask that the seller get that fixed before the sale goes through. And then the various abatement issues like asbestos or lead paint, if that is an issue, if that's applicable to your property that you're buying, you'll want to look at that. Now, all of these things, it sounds like a lot. It's really not. But to someone who's never bought a property, it can be kind of intimidating. You know, that's just the property issues. So let's talk about some things outside the actual physical property. Tenant leases. If you have tenants in this property, you're going to want to look at those leases. And if you have, let's say you have six tenants in the property, and they're selling this property based on the income on the property, which is what you do in commercial real estate, and you look at the leases and you find out that three of these tenants, their leases are coming due in 6 months. And you can't get a concrete answer on whether or not they're going to renew the lease, or maybe they just flat out tell you, no, we're not, we're moving in 6 months. Your property's not as valuable as what it was. You need to take that into consideration on the price. Now, if you have six tenants and they all have fairly new leases, maybe they signed a 5-year lease and they've all got 4 years on it. left on it, then great. You know, you're good to go. But if these guys won't commit before you close on the property, you might have a problem. And your lender is going to look at that too, by the way. They're going to look at that and say, well, wait a minute, these leases aren't really secure leases. And they might even want to look at, probably will want to look at financial statements of the tenants. And you should too. If you can get the financials from those tenants, you want to know what kind of shape they're in and know if they're going to go broke in the next 6 months. And then the final thing that we're going to look at is the loan. Most people don't even think that you can negotiate on your loan. Well, you can. Lenders are in the business of loaning you money. That's how they make money. And that's a sale to them. When they close a loan with somebody, when I go in and say, I want to borrow $500,000 for this building, and they say, okay, here we go, let's sign the papers, and they give me the money, that's a sale to them. And everything in it's negotiable. Now, depending on the economic conditions, certain things will be more negotiable than others. Right now, the economic condition is such that certain things are going to be hard to get them to budge on, like the loan-to-value ratio. How much of the purchase price or how much of the value of that property are they going to loan you? Well, you know, it was pretty easy to get 70% of the property value. Well, now, good luck with that. You might get maybe 60, probably 50 in a lot of cases. They're just going to want a lot of cash in this deal from you. And that's just because of the economy right now and interest rates. And now if your property is going to cash flow really well, you know, that can change that. So that's one thing. The term of the loan, how many years you have to pay it off. Some lenders will give you 10-year amortization with a 5-year balloon payment. It's pretty common. You got 10 years to pay it off. That's how they're going to calculate your payments. However, in 5 years, you have to pay off the balance of the loan with a balloon payment. Now, nobody ever pays those off. Most people don't pay that balloon payment. They refinance the property. And that's what's getting us into trouble right now with commercial real estate. Interest rates have basically doubled since these people started their loans 5 years ago. Now they're having to refinance those loans. I just found out about a 40,000-foot office building right now that's coming on the market. It's about 90% full. So not all the office building horror stories you're hearing apply everywhere in every market. Okay, there may be some big cities with large office buildings that are 50% vacant. It's not the case in a lot of cities. You know, the city I'm talking about's got about 150,000 people, and they have a booming business going on right now in oil and gas. And this building is about 90% full, and it will be full completely before long. But the owner doesn't like the refinancing prospects and doubling their interest rate, so they want to sell. And I don't blame them, but you know what? That's some opportunity for someone. Anyway, getting off track there, interest rates are high right now. They're going to be possibly a little bit negotiable depending on your relationship with the bank. This is why I always tell people you need to develop a relationship with your banker, personal relationship, one-on-one with whoever your loan officer is. Get to know them. Get to know them well enough that when you call them up, they're going to see your name on their caller ID and call you by name and say, hey, how's it going? And they're actually going to answer your call. That's an ideal situation. So you got the term of the loan, which I went over, was usually 10 years with a 5-year balloon. Sometimes you can get 20, depending on your lender. Amortization, that's the period of time they calculate your payments on. And so when you get a 10-year note and a five-year balloon payment. They're amortizing that over 10 years. And you can negotiate that to maybe 15 or maybe 20 in some cases, depending on the property type, depending on you and how strong your finances are, and depending on your relationship with the banker and your track record. Interest rates are somewhat negotiable. The down payment amount, how much cash are you going to have to put into it? That's where that loan to value is. Your loan to value ratio, you're going to have to probably come up with more cash now than you did 2 years ago, almost guaranteed. And they're going to look at the deal. Does the tenant's rent pay the bills? Are the tenants stable? Are they going to be there a long time? All these things they're going to look at, and you're going to have to negotiate your way through that. You got to navigate through that. And that's what intimidates people. Now, the easy solution, I promised you an easy solution to this. Here it is. Get a commercial real estate broker to help you buy these properties. We do this every day, all the time. This is what we do. We negotiate. It's what I do. As a broker, I negotiate deals. Sometimes they're small. Sometimes they're $100,000 deals. Sometimes they're $10 million deals. The only difference is the number of zeros in the number. The negotiating process is the same. Sometimes it gets strung out a little bit, you know, if it gets to be a really big number. But the whole process is the same. But to most people, it's intimidating, and it helps you to, it's nice to have someone who can help you that does this all the time. That is my simple solution. It's not going to cost you anything, regardless of what the NAR and their lawsuits are saying and their settlements. You as a buyer are not going to have to pay me as a commercial real estate broker to broker your deal unless there's a selling broker out there that's not, unless the seller actually says he's not going to pay a commission, or the broker in the deal isn't going to pay me the commission. So, I could do a 2-hour episode on how real estate works and how commissions work and how all this lawsuit nonsense is, how it's going to damage real estate. And, you know, mostly it's going to damage it for the buyers and sellers out there. But I don't want to get off on that right now. That's another episode, and that's mostly residential anyway. And I don't do residential. So you might take some time, learn a little bit about negotiating, find yourself a good agent, a good commercial real estate agent, and work with them. They will get you through the tough spots in this. They'll know what to go after. They'll know what to look for. They'll know what documents to ask for. And they will know about all of these things you're going to need to negotiate. And it'll keep you out of trouble. It'll decrease your stress by a huge amount. So that's about it for this time. If you like this kind of information, if you like to read about it, come join my newsletter. Subscribe for that. Go to subscribe.financialmomentum.co and put in your email address. It's a free newsletter. It comes out every Saturday morning. And, you know, it's mostly about real estate. Some of it's about buying businesses. Some of it's about a little bit of personal development in there. Anything that can help increase your financial momentum. And that's what we talk about there, momentum for your business and life. So come sign up for the newsletter, and I'll see you next time on the Financial Momentum Podcast.